In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It is not traditional for Orthodox to proselytize. It's not traditional for Orthodox to proselytize. Why not? You know, when I outlined this sermon this morning, I missed something, and the thing that I missed is that proselytizing is not always appealing to others rationally, which is what Orthodox would tend to do, especially those of us who are converts in America, because our understanding of Christianity is that it is a set of beliefs, a set of doctrines, a set of teachings. And so if we think of proselytizing, we think of sharing the beliefs, the history of the Orthodox Christian faith with others. That would be the kind of proselytizing that we would think of first of all. But as a matter of fact, when we are proselytized to by others in America, it's never that. It's always an appeal to emotion. The Orthodox would most likely not appeal to others at an emotional level. We would tend to appeal on the basis of a kind of rational appeal. And that's the way I outlined the sermon. But I do want to point out that proselytizing is not always a matter of appealing to others on the basis of what our doctrine, teaching, that sort of thing are. And so thinking about that as I did, my next thought was that it would be appropriate to give a quotation from the satirist Jonathan Swift, who you know as the author of Gulliver's Travels. He was also a great satirist in his time. And what he said that's relevant here is this: "It is useless to try to reason a man out of a thing he was never reasoned into." And so that's why it's pointless for Orthodox to appeal to non-Orthodox by telling them about our doctrine and our tradition, which is liberating, freeing. But the fact of the matter is that we do not choose our values by reason. And it's a matter of the values that we choose that determine where we go when we want to go and choose a church. We don't choose our values by reason. Our values are always a spiritual choice. God has made us free. He has created us as free beings. We reject any effort to try to dominate us. It doesn't seem to keep us from trying to dominate others, but we are spiritually free. We are not necessarily compelled by appeals to reason. In philosophy, there's this idea that if you have a solid enough argument, people have to agree. They have no choice but to agree. Why? Because we're all rational beings. And if you make an appeal to reason that is solid, people will have no choice but to agree. They will be compelled by reason. But we're not compelled by reason. We can hear a completely rational presentation of the superiority of the Orthodox Christian faith and reject it because it doesn't reflect our chosen values. Then on the other hand, we can spend, and some of us can relate to this better than others, we can spend years searching for the truth of life. Find it, be convinced, and abandon it in a second. Why? Well, because it's no fun, it's inconvenient, it's too restrictive, it's the truth. But so I know the truth, but I don't necessarily follow it. Why? Because I'm free. I don't have to follow it. So we make a negative spiritual choice out of our freedom. It's not a rational choice, it's a spiritual choice. If we don't prefer something, we can reject it. We can even believe it's true and reject it because we don't prefer it. If we don't prefer it, we can reject it. We can look reason in the face and we can say, "You can't make me. You can't make me accept the truth. You can't make me accept the facts. I can reject them." Why? Because I'm free. Now, God didn't make us free in order to make that kind of stupid spiritually negative choice, but he did give us freedom, and we can do that. In the end, the bottom line, you might say, is that there are two roads. One road leads to darkness, and one into light, into life. It's a choice between the path to a life that is a living death and ends in death, or a path that is the path of light and leads to light. And that choice is not made rationally. It's made on the basis of what we love most of all. It is a spiritual choice. Can we even always tell which path is which? I think we can, but only if we are desperate enough to know. We have to desperately want to know. If we are desperate enough to be honest with ourselves, we are able to know which path is which. We still might choose the wrong path, just out of contrariness or the idea that it's more free to choose the path that is more appealing to us, not on a basis of making any sense, not on a basis of being good for us, but simply because we're free and we go down the other path. Hey, we can always turn around, which is true. We can always turn around. When Jesus commanded the demons to come out of the possessed man who lived among the tombs, the man responded, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." All three of the, what they call the synoptic gospels, the gospels that are similar to one another, John is different. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all report this incident. Matthew, which we didn't read today, we read Luke. Matthew adds, "Do not torment me before the time." Before the time. And from this we know that the fallen angels know how things will be in the end. And still, they continue. We can know how things are going to turn out. We can know how things are going to be in the end and still follow the path that leads to darkness, despair, death. Angels do it, and they're a lot smarter than we are. Intelligence isn't everything. The spiritual beings who possess this man, these fallen angels, these demons, this man who lived among the tombs, responded, "Do not torment me before the time." They know that the time has not yet come, and they appeal to Jesus not to cast them out into the abyss because the time hasn't come yet. They are using reason to defend themselves. Our passions will use reason to defend themselves. Passions use reason. We hear reason coming out of people who are defending their passions. And they say, well, it's reasonable, this defense, but it is a defense on behalf of a passion. The demon's argument is a good argument. It's true, the time has not yet come. What does Jesus do? He doesn't cast them into the abyss. It isn't time. What is he going to do? Leave them in this person? To torment this person who doesn't even know his name? Jesus asks him his name. He responds, "My name is Legion," because he can't tell himself from these demons that possess him. He can't leave them there, and so he sends them into the pigs. And the demons drive the pigs into the sea. This defense of ourselves, the self that we identify with, the emotional, passionate self, it may drive us to despair. But still, if we identify with our own passions and desires, and we think, this is the real me, this is what I can't give up, passions and desires by their nature will encourage us to think that way. We are in their control, we're under their power, under their control, and so we don't have freedom. If we're using reason to defend the wrong things or the things that are self-destructive that we do, those passions will cling to us by reason. It is useless to try to reason ourselves out of something that we were never reasoned into in the first place. It's very difficult. We can try to reason ourselves out of anger. We can realize that we have an emotional condition that is irrational, and we can try to reason ourselves out of it, but it's never quite enough. At least we're aware that there is something going on in us that is irrational. So that's a start. We may choose to be free once we realize that we are under control of some passion. But the fact is that very few of us choose to be free of the passions that drive us. Instead, we let our passions, our preferences that are irrational and self-destructive, even define us, define the person that we think we are, and then we think we're defending ourselves when we're actually defending these passions that have control of us. They won't let us go because we love them. We love our passions. As Orthodox Christians, it's good to remember that passions will use reason to defend themselves against others who try to speak to us beyond our passions, or even against us when we try to rid ourselves of our passions. Father Alexander Schmemann was once asked, "What has the Orthodox Church to offer America?" He answered in one word, sanity. Sanity is what Orthodox Christianity has to offer us. Spiritual sanity. We come here to ascend into the kingdom of God and to share God's divine human life. That's why we come. That's what we receive at the chalice. The body and blood of Christ, the life of God incarnate into ourselves. That life is given to us not simply for us to keep for ourselves, but to share. This is what Jesus told the man after he was restored to his right mind. The man wanted to stay with Jesus. He said, "No, go to your own home and tell what God has done for you." That's why we are given communion with God, so that we can go and, not proselytize? Well, then what do we do? What do Orthodox do instead of proselytizing? There is such a thing as Orthodox evangelism. In the Orthodox Study Bible, down in the footnotes, it says something about St. Paul's teaching today from 2 Corinthians that we heard. This is St. Paul's teaching on stewardship. Today is Stewardship Sunday, incidentally. As Americans, plagued by the desire for more wealth, or suffering for the lack of wealth, we think that stewardship is all about money and sharing it. And it does have something to do with that. St. John Chrysostom says that all that we have beyond what we need belongs to the poor. So there is that. But the footnote in the Study Bible says the metaphor is not about giving money, this metaphor of stewardship. It is about Orthodox evangelism, I would say. What God gives us here at the chalice when we receive his divine human life is not for us to keep for ourselves. It is given to us to share. If we try to keep it for ourselves, the light will go out in us. We're talking about the investing and distributing of God's own divine energies, his grace. Divine human life is given to us at the chalice so that we can go out and share it with others, because others need it and they can receive it from us. It is about actively sharing the divine energies of our own cooperation with God. That is Orthodox evangelism. Not talking to people, trying to convince them either by emotional means or by rational means, but by sharing what God has given us in place of our being controlled by our passions and desires. When St. Paul says God loves a cheerful giver, he is talking about someone who shares himself or herself with others in a way that we can only do by pursuing a life of virtue, Because when we encounter others, there's always a choice. Are we going to defend ourselves, build ourselves up, use the other person to try to get a better self-image? Are we going to listen to that person, hear that person, deal with whatever it is to the best of our ability as those who are receiving our life from God rather than selfishly keeping everything to ourselves? Are we going to be there for that person? Or are we going to use this encounter somehow for our own selfish benefit? Are we going to share what God has given to us? Or are we going to try to keep it for ourselves? Jesus said to the man that he had healed, "You have your sanity. You have your right mind. Don't stay with me. Go and share this sanity with others." And that's what we are intended to share with others, by evangelism. To be men and women of spiritually sober mind and heart, and share spiritual sanity with others. And in order to do that, we have to continue to remain sane in a world that is not sane. That, and not proselytizing, is what St. Paisios means when he talks about Orthodox evangelism. Spreading the reality of the life in Christ that is given to us, not just to save us from hell, but to enable us to live a life of meaningful love for other people, sharing the sanity of Christ God with others in a world that is given over to the self-domination of insane passions and desires and illusion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.